Welcome to the St. Ninian's Community Church Lent Podcasts. Thanks for listening. It's Graham here again. Today's passage, as we continue on our theme of taste and see through this period and season of Lent, comes from John's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. I'm using N.T. Wright's own translation. This is what we read. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. The wine ran out. Jesus' mother came over to him. "They haven't got any wine," she said. "Oh, mother," replied Jesus, "what's that got to do with you and me? My time hasn't come yet." But his mother spoke to the servants. "Do whatever he tells you," she said. 6 stone water jars were standing there, ready for use in the Jewish purification rites. Each held about 20 or 30 gallons. "Fill the jars with water," said Jesus to the servants. And they filled them right up to the brim. "Now draw some out," he said, "and take it to the chief steward." They did so. When the chief steward tasted the water that had turned into wine, he didn't know where it had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. He called the bridegroom. "What everybody normally does," he said, "is to serve the good wine first, and then the worst stuff when the people have had plenty to drink. But you've kept the good wine till now." This event in Cana of Galilee was the first of Jesus' signs. He displayed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and he remained there for a few days. As many people listening to this will know, I work as a prison chaplain. And it's surprising how many prisoners know of Jesus turning water into wine and how often I am asked on a weekly basis to try and perform the same miracle. In the midst of all the dullness and boredom and even pain and sorrow of life that is imprisoned, prisoners are just looking for a little bit of light relief, turning the dry water, the dull water of prison life, into a little bit of wine and sparkle. The scene which we've just read is a scene really from everyday life, and it's timeless in many ways. It's the scene of a young couple in love coming to seal their relationship and getting married. It's a scene of family and friends celebrating. It's a scene of waiters and master of ceremonies and hotel staff, if you like, getting on with their job and another wedding, making sure all the guests are being looked after. It's a story of wine running out. It's a story of stress for perhaps the parents of the happy couple, trying to avoid the shame and the awkwardness of how do we stop the embarrassment of telling people that there is no alcohol left at this party. It's a story of a mother and son apparently squabbling, Mary coming to Jesus and telling him to do something and Jesus telling her to quieten down for his time hasn't yet come. It's a time where most people are oblivious to everything that's going on, caught up in their own circumstances and partying and laughter and just doing what you do at weddings. And yet in the midst of this ordinary, timeless, everyday scene, a miracle takes place. And yet, hardly anybody knows. And hardly anyone notices. Except that they all benefit. For suddenly, wine has become more plentiful And boy, did this wine taste good. Some of the best wine, no, the best wine, that they had ever tasted. John, as he writes this story, calls it a sign. This is the first sign that Jesus performs. But a sign, I wonder, of what? A sign of who he is? A sign of what he wants to do in our lives? But what does it mean? I don't know if you recently watched the programme that was on TV called The Mask, where a number of singers came on each week and they were all in disguise wearing these fantastically beautiful costumes, and they would sing songs, and the panel and I guess the audience and viewers at home all had to try to work out who it was that was singing. And every week they would give more clues, or you would go into their changing rooms or their homes, and you would have to just listen to what was being said and see where the camera was pointed to and try to work out what clues were being subtly dropped into what was taking place. It's a bit like, I suppose, the other programme, Through the Keyhole, where the cameras go into a celebrity's house and again scanning the house. There's lots of little clues just planted here and there, which you have to notice and try to work out, what does this mean? Who are these clues pointing to? Or I could even think of more recently, I was away at New Year, and as a big group, we did one of these murder mysteries where everybody dressed up, and throughout the dialogue and discussion, as people read their scripts and so forth, just trying to pick up on clues that may be important and things that perhaps were just red herrings. Looking for the clues. Throughout this passage, there are lots of clues to what we mean by Jesus performing his first sign. So, as they do in Through the Keyhole, let's pause for a minute and look at some of the clues. John points out that this wedding took place on the third day. Why did he say that? What significance might that mean? What is that terminology perhaps pointing to and wishing us to think about? And then there are the six water jars used for ceremonial purposes in Jewish worship day by day, as the worshippers had to purify and wash themselves. The significance of the wedding feast itself. This wasn't just any party, but it was a wedding. And Jesus had been invited to the wedding feast. And of course, we have the clue of ordinary, plain water being turned into wine, not just any old wine, but the best of wine. What was Jesus doing? What was John trying to say? What do all these clues point to? But hey, I'm not going to spell it all out for you, because Jesus didn't and John didn't. So I'm just going to allow these clues to hang, and hopefully throughout today, we can perhaps think about some of these things for a while. All I will say is this one ordinary, everyday scene from life just got hugely better, simply because Jesus was invited into the celebration and to take part in these people's lives. And their wedding would never be the same, even although most people didn't even notice. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, whatever we are doing today, and whatever we have to face this week, we ask that we do it with you. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you take the ordinariness of our lives and our circumstances and the things we have to do, and would you just add your little touch? Would you just bring something of your glory? Would you come and do a miracle of helping our lives become wine, the best of wine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.